everyone, I'm Tiffany, and you're listening to Talking Nonprofits, a podcast about the world of nonprofits. This podcast aims to amplify the voices and missions of nonprofits. We connect nonprofits to the community and bring awareness to the purpose, leadership strategies, and challenges these organizations encounter. Follow along so you too can learn how to make a difference in your community. Today we have Mr. Eric Ressler, founder and creative director at Cosmic, a social impact creative agency. Here's a snapshot about Eric. Eric got his start in design from a very young age, and after leaving a design program in San Diego early to pursue freelance work, he cut his teeth running a freelance business in the digital design space. After organically building a stronger roster of clients, he discovered a passion for social impact in the philanthropy space. Welcome to the podcast, Eric.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. So tell me, what is a social impact organization?
We define a social impact organization as an organization that exists at their core to move humanity forward in one way or another. So the space is muddy and there's a lot of different people kind of starting to play in this space. You see a lot of corporations doing cause marketing. You see a lot of corporations having a corporate social responsibility program. And that's okay. You know, I think a lot of good actually can come from some of those programs. I don't think we feel like it's necessarily a good thing when people are practicing what we would call cause washing, where they're, you know, saying that they're doing good in order just to sell products, but the net result of that is not really positive. So when we think about what we define as a true social impact organization, it's an organization that at their core, they exist to move humanity forward. It's not some add-on. It's not some secondary thought. It's not some give back program. It's organizations that exist just primarily for that reason. So that usually breaks down into a few different categories of organizations. Nonprofits are a big element of that. Social enterprises or B Corps can be an element of that. They aren't necessarily, but a lot of them are. And then there's kind of the funding side too. So community foundations, foundations, philanthropists, family offices, the folks who are responsible for funding some of these other organizations.
What is your role as the founder and creative director of the Social Impact Creative Agency?
So my role at Cosmic, I wear a lot of hats. We're a small agency. We're 9 people. And my primary role is the founder. So I started the firm and I've grown the practice and brought a team on to help me. And then my day-to-day work is as a creative director. So what that means through the lens of the work that we do is I'm overseeing the team that is doing all of the branding and communications and digital design work that we're doing and helping to see all of our projects through from a strategic and creative standpoint. And at the end of the day, really ensure that we're serving our clients well and we're doing right by them.
Why do so many social impact organizations struggle to find, grow, and maintain funding from your point of view?
There's a lot of different reasons. So if we look at the nonprofit segment, there's this kind of perpetuation of this starvation cycle and this scarcity mindset that a lot of nonprofits find themselves in. And it's a bit of a chicken egg or like catch 22 situation, because oftentimes these organizations start because someone's very passionate about something, about an issue or about a cause, and they just have this intuition and this agency to do good around that cause or to try and make a difference or change the world. And so it can be something that's kind of funded or started very organically and just, you know, money just kind of comes in through friends and family. And what ends up happening oftentimes is that the scope of the problem and the scope of the funding that's available to try and solve that problem don't match up. So these organizations are in this state of being under-resourced where they don't have enough money to fund their staff or to have office space or equipment or to scale the impact to the degree that they really need to be able to. And then over time, you sort of, as an organization in that state, it becomes kind of a learned state. It's like the way it is. And so then you start to just perpetuate it with your actions and your decisions. And you begin to think about things as a team member or a leader within one of these organizations through the lens of scarcity instead of through opportunity. And you start to look at constraints instead of creative opportunities. And so it, at some level, it becomes a cultural effect or phenomenon. And then there's also real issues around, like, there's just not enough money going to an investment going to some of these causes and some of these organizations. Just the flow of money isn't happening. And then I think our perspective and where we come in to help our clients with this issue is that these organizations just don't have the right tools or team members or methodologies or skill sets to be able to fundraise, especially when more and more fundraising is happening through digital platforms. And when a big element of effective fundraising comes through branding and communications and digital experiences, and oftentimes these organizations don't have the right team members or skills or expertise or staff members to be able to do that in an effective way, the same way that, you know, an organization like Nike or Apple might, where they have entire teams and plenty of funding to do it well. So on the nonprofit side, that I think covers at least some of the basics of it. When it comes to social enterprises, they do tend to operate a little bit more like a startup business. They're a little bit more innovative. They might understand the idea of branding and marketing and how important that is, because they're selling products or they have some kind of market-based approach to their work. But they have the other issue of oftentimes they're creating entire new categories or new technologies or new business models. And that is expensive and time consuming and requires a lot of upfront investment. So from their perspective, they may understand the importance of storytelling and branding and marketing and digital experiences for their growth as an organization, but they have a lot of other large issues that they're working through as well. So it really depends on the organization, but hopefully that speaks to some of the big picture issues that we see a lot of times in doing this work with our clients.
Why should social impact organizations invest in the digital strategy and platforms? Why should we put our money into that?
There's a really short answer and there's a slightly longer answer. The short answer is that digital channels are where conversations happen today and where they're going to continue to happen in the future. And so if you don't have a strong presence there, you're missing out as an organization. That's my short answer to that question. The longer answer to that question is that the way that culture is moving, we're in this new era that we've referred to as the information era, where information is vast and overwhelming. And we find ourselves in a situation where information is no longer scarce and access to information for the most part is no longer an issue. Obviously, that's not the case across the globe, but more and more, even in countries where that are, you know, very underserved or underrepresented, a lot of folks have access to the internet through their cell phones, who might not even have other basic needs met. And so information is becoming more and more accessible and open and available to the point where it's actually overwhelming, I think, especially in places like America and other more, you know, I don't mean this in a negative way, but developed countries, right? Mm-hmm. Where that's not the, what becomes the new scarcity is really attention. It's really hard to get people, it's really hard to break through that noise and to capture people's attention and to sustain that attention as an organization. And to do that through these digital channels and these digital, this digital culture that we're in requires a more nuanced understanding of how that all works. It requires a really solid brand, a really solid story as an organization, and a more savvy digital footprint where you engage your community and get them to support you and to take action and to engage with the issue that you're trying to get people to engage with.
Yeah. Why should social impact organizations concern themselves with their brand when it seems like there are more important things to focus on?
Yeah, I think oftentimes branding and marketing get in the social impact space, they feel like a cherry on top of the real work, kind of like something you can get to if you have time and extra money, which is pretty rare, honestly, in these organizations. And what we found is that that's not the right way to think about your brand or your marketing or your communications, because it can be such a powerful tool to further your cause and to grow the scope and scale of your impact and to engage a broader and a more deeply engaged community than if you don't have a strong brand, a strong communication strategy, and a consistent attention to that. And what we've seen through our work and through other folks' work in the space is that if you give your brand and your communications a seat at the table to the same level that you do your program work or your strategic work, and you consider it as a critical pillar to your organization and its ability to flourish, it starts to become an impact multiplier because it starts to connect all of these dots. And a lot of times people think about your brand as something that you put out in the world, your logo, your slogan, and that's certainly an important element of it. But so much of your brand is around creating clarity of purpose and alignment within your team as well. And having a strong set of values, a strong point of view as an organization, clarity around your theory of change and how you're going to actually create change in the world. All of that to me is branding. And if you can define that in a clear way that is consistent internally, consistent externally, authentic to who you are, authentic to what you do, and then strategically and clearly articulated to the world in a way that is emotionally compelling, it starts to really activate all of the other elements of your organization in a way that isn't possible if those things aren't strong. And so if you have a really good idea and a really solid team and you're doing really good work, but you're not communicating about it and you're not engaging your broader community and showing them how they can get involved, and you're not leading the conversation within your niche, you're holding yourself back at the end of the day.
Wow. So if your brand is on point, everything else should come together, right?
It can kind of glue the rest of it all together.
So since you are into all of the brands and you have a social impact agency, what's some of your campaigns, your top campaigns that you have worked on, and why were they successful?
So much of the work that we do is great in so many different ways, but I'll speak to some recent work that I'm particularly proud of. So we've worked with a local organization in the California region to launch a campaign called Let's Green California. And the campaign is a climate action or a climate justice campaign. And its goal is really to push California forward to be even more of a leader in terms of climate action and climate justice, and to create a framework that other states and ultimately the rest of the world can follow to really push and accelerate our efforts and to unlock some of the barriers that have been holding things back. So it's a campaign of urgency, but it's also a campaign of optimism and to a certain level, kind of like California nostalgia. Because what we've noticed, and our strategy around this, because of this, what we've noticed is that a lot of climate action campaigns and social impact campaigns in general can sometimes be very negative and fear-based in their messaging and their approach. And I think that especially with an issue as urgent and as existential and as like large in scope as climate action, that can lead to apathy. Because as a single person, the scope and scale of the problem can just feel overwhelming. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but I certainly have, as someone who cares deeply about climate, that sometimes it just feels hopeless, right? Because we've seen, like, we've known this is a problem for so long as a culture. We've seen all the special interest groups continuously creating gridlock where there doesn't need to be gridlock. We've seen so much inaction around this issue politically in America, especially. And even, you know, we've seen a big backsliding of this happen in the last 4 years or so. Sometimes it just feels like, what's the point anymore, right? And so we wanted to create a campaign that kind of inspired and created optimism and hope, and then also gave people a feeling of there's something that I can do today that will actually make a difference. And so it was a really interesting and rewarding campaign for us to work on for so many different ways and for so many different reasons. But it was all really built on that idea and that concept of hope and optimism and positivity versus, you know, fear-based and, you know, just trying to point out how horrible everything is because of climate change.
I agree with you. Sometimes I feel like we have backslidden, you know, the past 4 years, but, you know, everything's always happening. There's fires in California, there's flooding all over the country. It's like, oh my goodness, are we going to ever get our earth back to, you know, where there's no fires, where there's no, I know that that's possibly not, but to curb some of the fires and things like that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to looking at that campaign. I am. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what was really fun about that work especially is that we kind of took a two-tiered approach to the campaign. And the first tier is really around education. It's around kind of trying to tell people and educate people around how we got here. Like, why are we where we are today around these issues? Because I think there's a lot of assumptions made around that. And some people don't really, it's confusing. It's like, why aren't we prioritizing this more than we are? And so there's reasons for all of that. So one bit that we built out was this education center around that. That's the main experience when you land on the site that we got to do in a very fun visual kind of interactive way, which is really great. And then the second tier or element to it was this action center that was really about, okay, I want to help. I want to get involved. I want to do something. And it gives people an opportunity to do that. And really having that kind of two-tiered approach, I think, is a really good strategy to actually create change. And also it was just really fun to work on from a creative perspective.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to looking at it. So we are in a nonprofit space, our social impact space, as you defined earlier. With that being said, what organization do you give your time, talents, or treasure to, and why?
So I support a number of different organizations, and some of which are actually our clients, because you know we really believe in the work that we support with our clients. I've supported a number of different organizations, a lot of organizations that are focused around conservation or environmental preservation. Lately, I've been really impressed and engaged with some of the campaigns that Crooked Media is putting out around political action. And I feel like they've done a really good job at creating accessible and actionable and effective campaigns for issues that matter and that are urgent. And really, they do a good job at figuring out like, where are the most urgent fires and how can we get people activated to help put them out before they become bigger fires, metaphorically speaking. I've been most engaged politically with some of the campaigns that they're running. And one of the things I really like about Crooked is that they partner with other organizations that have a track record for doing good work in different niches versus trying to do everything on their own and using their platform and their community and activating them and pointing them to other organizations doing good. So I've been really impressed with their campaigns and their work and would highly recommend people check it out.
Okay. Where can our audience reach out to you so that you can put them in the right direction? So for brand management, for fundraising, for their digital strategy, where can they reach out?
The short answer is our website, and that's designbycosmic.com. And I'll point out a couple of really helpful resources there. The first is we published a manifesto that kind of outlines our perspective around what the future of this looks like. And that's, you can find that on the homepage. There's just a tab at the top that says manifesto. And that's a really good place to start just to kind of understand more of these philosophies. And then more practically speaking, there's a section on our site that's called Insights. That's a tab at the top as well, where we publish a lot of free articles, you know, worksheets, more like tactile articles as well around like how to actually bring some of these philosophies into practice. And we usually, you know, our focus on these insights is really around storytelling, fundraising, branding, communications, digital experiences, basically the work that we do with our clients. Because we're a small firm and we can't service, you know, everyone, and we still want to be able to give back and give our thinking and our learnings away for free. And so all of that can be found for free on the site. If you're an organization that needs help with this work and you're really looking for a creative thought partner to like help actually enact some of that, of course, we're always looking for right fit organizations that we can support and that we believe in to kind of help with more deeply as well. But as a way to get started, we have a lot of really great content and resources on the website. And then I also always encourage people to just reach out to me directly, and you can find me on LinkedIn, and you can also just email me. And my email is eric@designbycosmic.com.
Okay, thank you. And I'll definitely take a look at that. We have our final question. Okay. At Talking Nonprofits, our goal is to connect nonprofits to the community. In your own words, what is community to you?
To me, community is really about a group of people coming together around a common issue where everyone feels equal and everyone feels safe and everyone feels heard. And I'm part of a lot of different communities, and you know, for personal reasons and some of my interests around like music and sports and things like that. But at the end of the day, all of the communities that I've felt most connected to, those things have to be true. And if any of those things aren't true, then the community isn't going to be very effective or very enjoyable to be part of.
Thank you. That's a wonderful answer. And thank you, Eric, for being on the podcast. I enjoyed your point of view, and I'm sure our listeners would love it as well. And I wish you the best on your continued growth of your agency.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Join me each week to learn about a nonprofit's passion and mission by subscribing or following Talking Nonprofits wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, be the difference.